And now it's time for us to discuss more of the headlines and simple keywords with Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, Lena. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day indeed. It's the first day of a brand new month, a clean new slate, if you will.
Already February, flying by.
Thank you for joining us. Let's start out with our keyword news portion of the day. We're going to try to clarify some of these major headlines for our listeners. And this is our first pick of the day.
Military support.
So U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the U.S. will increase its deployment of advanced weapons such as fighter jets and bombers to the Korean Peninsula as it strengthens joint training with South Korea. So we want to talk about the defense chief's meeting that came out yesterday. What's the latest?
Right. He made the comments in Seoul after he and Defense Minister Lee Jong-sup agreed to further expand their combined military exercises. They also discussed preparations for a simulated exercise between the allies in February aimed at sharpening their response if North Korea uses nuclear weapons, this tabletop exercise. Austin and Lee also condemned what he called North Korea's dangerous actions. Austin's trip comes as South Korea seeks stronger assurances that the United States will use its nuclear capabilities to protect its ally South Korea in the face of a North Korean nuclear attack. There has been heightened public debate on whether South Korea can trust the U.S. to provide the so-called extended deterrence against the North and whether Seoul should seek its own nuclear capabilities. They also agreed to complete their revision of the tailored deterrence strategy before their next security consultative meeting. They also discussed preparations for a simulated exercise between the allies, which I mentioned, this tabletop exercise as well. President Yoon also met with Austin and called for a strong and effective extended deterrence from the U.S. Yoon also called for continued implementation of Korea-U.S. joint military training, adding that he highly appreciated the bilateral plan to conduct the Freedom Shield joint exercise before the end of June. Austin was asked by reporters, meanwhile, what kind of U.S. deterrence should be expected in South Korea this year. He referred to the previously deployed F-22 and F-35 fighter jets and the nuclear-powered USS Ronald Reagan, saying similar assets would continue to be deployed.
With that, we move on to our second keyword of the day.
Visa row.
It kind of feels and looks like a tit for a tat. China is continuing its retaliatory entry restrictions on travelers coming in from Korea. What's the latest, Adam?
Right. Well, in terms of China's stance anyway, it explicitly said that it is basically a tit for tat move and a reciprocal measure in what Korea is doing to inbound travelers from China. But starting today, China is testing every single passenger arriving from Korea for COVID-19, just as Korea has been doing to every passenger arriving from China since January 2nd. China will also quarantine arrivals from Korea who test positive, just like Korea does with arrivals from China. Beijing previously lifted all mandatory testing of arrivals from January 8th, as well as mandatory quarantine. So the rule is still in place for Korea, but lifted for entrance from other countries. Now, the Chinese government has repeatedly demanded that the Korean government ease its visa ban, calling it discriminatory, despite Japan also implementing stricter entry restrictions on travelers arriving from China. The Chinese government resumed issuing visas to Japanese tourists, although albeit the Japanese measures aren't as strong as what Korea is doing.
Right.
It seems like Korea is taking a little bit of a tougher stance, and that's why the Chinese government is still putting some of these reciprocal measures in place. Now, the Chinese government will permit Chinese tourists to go overseas on group tours from February 6th. Whether that includes Korea remains to be seen, and whether the Korean measures will be eased by then, and the retaliatory measures will also be eased by then, remains to be seen as well. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Mao Ning noted again that Beijing's move was a reciprocal measure to Korea's tough rules. Korea's foreign ministry said its quarantine measures were based on scientific grounds for people's protection. Now, meanwhile, Prime Minister Han Duck-soo said the government could consider lifting the limits on short-term visas for Chinese travelers before the end of this month if China's tally of COVID-19 infections proved manageable, in his words. So we'll have to see in the next couple of weeks or so whether the measures that Korea is taking is eased, and that will possibly result in China also removing some of the strict measures against Korean entrance as well.
Because if you think about it, for business travelers who require those short-term stay visas, it poses not just a small headache. This is a big one. So we'll have to wait and see how it pans out. As you said, the Prime Minister says maybe within this month, we might be able to see some changes. All right, let's move on to our third keyword of the day.
Growth outlook slashed.
So from the economy section, now the IMF has lowered its 2023 growth projection for South Korea to 1.7% from its earlier figure of 2%. Can we catch a break? Tell us the details.
Well, it certainly seems like we can't, but yes, the IMF made the 0.3 percentage point downward revision in a quarterly update to its World Economic Outlook report. It also revised down its 2024 outlook for Korea to 2.6% from the previous prediction of 2.7%. Now, the lowered projection is in contrast, though, to the IMF's upward revision of its global economic growth outlook by 0.2 percentage points. Now, the fund raised the outlook to 2.9% from its October projection of 2.7%. It also forecast global growth to accelerate to 3.1% next year. Now, the upward revision for the world economy was based on upbeat expectations about an economic recovery following China's reopening and an expected stable growth in consumption and investment in the US and Europe. The IMF raised next year's growth outlook for China, for example, to 5.2% from the previous 4.4%. It also revised up the projection for the US to 1.4% from 1%. Now, the IMF did not specifically specify the reason for the third consecutive growth cut for South Korea, but it is on par with dominant projections that Korea's economy will display rare low growth in the 1% range this year. The Finance Ministry, the Bank of Korea, the OECD, and a lot of credit rating agencies, they're all in the 1% range. Economists in Seoul also viewed such a gloomy outlook as being mainly due to weakening private spending here. But speaking to Yonhap News, IMF Deputy Managing Director Geeta Gopinath said Korea is not likely to suffer a crisis as in late 1990s during the whole IMF fiasco due to what she called its strong fundamentals. She added that the IMF nevertheless lowered its economic outlook on Korea as high interest rates are likely to impact consumption throughout this year.
So certainly South Korea's economic standing has changed a great deal since the 90s, so we can bear this. However, it's still going to be tough for, I don't know, everyday consumers like you and I, where things are very costly. Inflation is not slowing down. So despite lowering the mask, we're not spending more.
Exactly.
All right, and that's your forecast for now. Let's move on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Sluggish real estate.
So more grim data is emerging from the real estate market, with many apartments being left unsold. You might be wondering if there are more availability. Why is that a bad thing? Well, it doesn't mean that the available ones are affordable.
Right, exactly. I mean, there's a lot of empty apartments now, a lot of transactions being lowered or a decrease in transactions in the real estate market. A lot of house prices have also plummeted as well. We've seen a lot of apartments in Seoul being prices being cut by almost half as well. Now, government data shows that almost 70,000 apartments across the country remained unsold last month. The government doesn't see the situation as an emergency, though, but the unsold number of apartments surpassed 10,000 in a month and crossed the 62,000 mark in total, which the government had said was kind of a risk level and a level to watch. Now, the rate at which apartments are not being sold has also jumped as well, almost four times in the space of a year. Now, the 68,000 plus unsold apartments across the country is a 17.4% jump from the year before. It's also the highest figure since August 2013. And now the rate is also increasing month by month. Of course, high interest rates are mainly due to blame, as people are reluctant to get mortgages. Real estate transactions have also been taking a hit. The number of sales transactions in Seoul, for example, has been cut by 65%.
It's ironic because there are still people looking for homes. Now, is there a mismatch between the availabilities and the ones that are supposed to be affordable? Yes. And that discrepancy creates this sort of situation. Our real estate market has always been volatile, but it's a matter of how much it goes up and down. And it certainly doesn't look stable from where I stand.
It certainly is worrying times at the moment. And a lot of economists and analysts are projecting that this kind of trend will continue for the foreseeable future, at least possibly within the first half of this year, and maybe easing from the latter half of the year. So if you do have the cash, then maybe it is a good time to buy at the moment because it is at a discount. But when is a good time to buy is always a tough question, because it does look like some prices, house prices, may decrease even further in the months to come.
All right, with that, we move on to taxi fares. This is our fifth keyword of the day.
Taxi fare hike.
So it was unavoidable, but I mean, you want to talk about decreased consumer sentiment to spend more? Here's adding one more to the list. A basic taxi fare in Seoul is rising by 1,000 won beginning today. It's just another thing on our daily lives that's getting more expensive.
Sadly so. The base rate is now 4,800 won. It is the first increase in 4 years, in fact. Okay. Now, under the plan, the initial minimum distance for which the base taxi fare is applied will also be shortened to 1.6 kilometers from the current 2 kilometers. Now, after the base fare is charged, 100 won will be additionally charged for every 131 meters of distance up from the current 132. Now, the city government's decision came amid growing complaints about a shortage of cabs in the city sparked by the pandemic. As part of efforts to increase nighttime taxi services, the city also allowed taxi drivers last month to charge a nighttime surcharge from 10 p.m. instead of midnight. This means, basically, that a customer, for example, who would like to travel from Chungnak Station in central Seoul to Gangnam Station in southern Seoul, a distance of roughly about 10 kilometers, at midnight, we'll have to pay 17,700 won. Before the change, the person would only have had to pay 13,700 won. That's up almost 30% from before the extended surcharge. Now, the base fares for premium taxis has also been raised by 500 won to 7,001. The city government is also pushing to increase the fares of buses and subways for the first time in 8 years. It is considering two fare hike proposals, which are 300 won or 400 won, with the aim of applying the change as early as April, possibly. And the city government is also pushing to increase fares of the Seoul City bike rental system known as Dadangi within the year, which is a bit unfortunate because it is considered a means of transport that's cheap and cheerful, but maybe not so cheap anymore.
Do you work for Seoul City? Cheap and cheerful. That's great. That's a great slogan for Dadangi.
I have used it several times. Yeah. It is quite convenient and fun as well. A lot of people use it for just the experience as well. But I guess in the age of rising inflation and higher prices for everything, I think the city government is just adjusting to the times.
Yeah, it seems that they didn't have any option and they tried to delay it as much as possible. But eventually, I mean, you do have to hike the prices. Now, as far as nighttime surcharge goes for cabs, it just felt like most people wouldn't mind paying that extra if they had means of getting home.
Right,
As for the base rate, it seems that just times are tough and it's being reflected.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Thank you very much, Adam, for today's coverage. Have a safe day. It's a little bit warmer.
we have had a bit of a break from the very frosty weather we've been having. So, yeah, stay safe yourself. You're very welcome. And see you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.